Grace to you in peace and salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Start today in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him. And plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's also called the Sunday of the Passion. This is a day in the church year when we especially remember the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what happened there on that hill of Calvary so long ago. Now, sometimes when we talk about the cross, we say, Jesus died for our sins in the cross, and we just leave it at that. Now, while that's a true statement, sometimes we forget to look deeper into what really happened there on that cross, what forces clashed on that great and glorious day long ago, and what God really did for us through Jesus Christ on that cross. And that's what I'd like to talk about with you today. Look deeper into the cross of our Lord and hear what our Lord God would say to us and says to us today about the cross of his Son. So open your ears and listen that you may be refreshed in the faith and polished in the grace of our God toward us in Christ Jesus. So the cross of our Lord Jesus. What does God say to us about it? Well, number one, God says, on that cross, on that day long ago, I reconciled you to myself. Let those words sink into you for a moment. I reconciled you to myself. Why? Why do we need to be reconciled to God? Answer is because there was a rift in our relationship with God. It was broken on account of sin. And this is written everywhere, but in particular, we could say Isaiah 59. God says, is the Lord's hand shortened that it cannot save? Or is ear dull that it cannot hear? But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear. So there is a separation, a rift, a brokenness between us and God and our relationship, even warfare. Yes, war. For man, on account of his sinful nature, was at war with God. And God, on account of his righteous nature, was at war with the sin in man. And there was a rift in our relationship. And we see this contention reaching a climax in the passion of our Lord at the cross, right? We read it in Luke chapter 23, verse 20. Pilate addressed the crowd once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they shouted out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The third time he said, "Why? What evil has he done? I find no crime in him deserving death. I'll therefore chastise him and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. Jesus, he delivered up to their will. Sound like warfare to you? Thank you. Sounds like warfare to me. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" yelled the crowd against him. But I'll tell you, God had something different in his mind other than warfare. Something different. For if he were thinking warfare against mankind on that cross, then he could have easily dispatched us with the breath of his mouth. He could have slain us in an instant, right? I mean, we read, Jesus says in Matthew 26, "Do you not think that I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But then how should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" God didn't come for warfare. He had a different purpose in mind. To fulfill the scriptures, namely, his purpose was to save us, to remove that sin barrier between us and God, to heal that rift, that brokenness in our relationship with him. This was God's plan of old, to give you peace in your relationship with God, to reconcile you. That's why we have these banners here from Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. It says also in the next verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What happened on that cross was God lifted up the sins from off of you and placed them upon Jesus, and he died as our substitute. The death that we deserve for our sins, he died so that we might be saved and have eternal life. So what forces met there at the cross? Well, God's hatred of sin met God's love for the sinner there at the cross, his love for you to save you. And Jesus on the cross reconciled you to God. You know what that means? For your relationship with God, that means that through the cross, when you come to faith in Jesus, the warfare is over. There's no more rift. There's no more barrier. There's no more contention. There's no more anger. There's no more wrath. There is peace between God and man through Jesus Christ. Are you experiencing that peace today? If you have faith in Christ, in fact, even before then, God has reconciled you to himself, and you receive that by faith. For it's written in 2 Corinthians 5, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Are you reconciled to God today and your relationship with him? What does it mean to reconcile? It means to restore friendship and harmony. And I have been sent by God to declare a message to you today that you who are in Christ have now to yourselves and your relationship with God friendship and harmony. As God said in Isaiah, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned and that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So, one thing God says to you today through this cross of his Son is, I have reconciled you to myself. The warfare is over, and we are again at peace, and a peace that will last forever through Jesus Christ. What a difference a cross makes. Amen? Another thing, not only did God and man meet there at the cross, God's hatred of sin and God's love for the sinner, but also two men met there together on that cross on that day long ago. Do you know that? Jews and Gentiles both met at that cross. Before that time, the Gentiles, each of us, unless we're Jews, we were out. We were not included in God's people. Of course, there were a few through history, Gentiles who were, saved. They were the widow of Zarephath and Naaman the Syrian. But at the time, prior to the cross, the Jews were God's chosen people. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David says, what other nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing from them great and terrible things by driving out his people before his people, a nation and its gods? And thou didst establish for thyself thy people Israel to be thy people forever. And thou, O Lord, didst become their God. All the other nations were different. God chose Israel. And in Psalm 147, we read, he declares his word to Jacob and his statutes to Israel. He's not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. So we were outside, not included. But what happened there at the cross was an amazing thing. Jews and Gentiles collaborated in crucifying the Lord of the world. If you think about it, the leaders of the Jews pleaded for Jesus' death. The Jewish people, the mob, cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But it was Pilate, a Gentile, who handed him over to them to be crucified. And it was a Gentile Roman soldier who drove the nail into his hands. So both Jews and Gentiles crucified Jesus on that cross long ago. But on that cross, Jesus saved both Jews and Gentiles. And Jesus' word to you right now is, and God's word is, do you realize I have included you in my son's salvation? What a wonderful thing that is. It's too light a thing, God says in the Old Testament, that to Jesus, that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I'll give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Any Jews we have here today? You're all Gentiles? How about that? This word is then for you. God says, I have included you. For he says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that's Gentiles, have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, between man and God, by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. So God not only healed this relationship between us and him, God and man, God also healed the relationship vertically between Jews and Gentiles. And in fact, God wants to heal relationships between all people through that cross. As you've been forgiven through his cross, so now go and forgive each other. And he is calling to himself a people of his own, one people, Jews and Gentiles, into the one tree of God's family. Now, formerly, it was the Jews who were an olive tree, and you were wild olive shoots, and God grafted you in. And he says, I've included you. What a difference a cross makes, amen? Not only did two people meet at that cross, Jews and Gentiles, God and man, but also two trees met at that cross. Did you know that? Two trees. Well, we go back to Genesis and we read that out of the ground, the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You all know what happened there. God said, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. What happened? They ate of it. And on account of that, a curse came upon the whole world of death, of bondage to decay and death. You see that in nature. Animals eating little animals. As Woody Allen said, nature's like a big restaurant, you know. There is decay and death in the world, and there's decay and death for us too, but by a tree came the curse, and by a tree has come the removal of that curse and life through the cross of Jesus. For it says in Galatians chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, and this is interesting, Paul quotes this, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree. What is he doing there? He's quoting an Old Testament word of the law, which says, if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he's put to death, you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is accursed by God. A man hanged on a tree, according to God's word, is accursed by God. Jesus hung upon a tree to take the curse away from us. He became a curse for us. He took the curse of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of sin and death. He took it onto the cross, and by a tree came death, and by a tree has come life and the removal of the curse for you. Do you rejoice in that with me today? God says, I've reconciled you to myself. I've included you in my people, and I've removed the curse. I've given you blessing for cursing. What a difference a cross makes. But not only did two trees and two peoples meet on that cross, but also two covenants met there as well. Thanks be to God. Because the old covenant that we had with God was the law, which said, God said, keep these commandments, do this, and you will live. and each and every one of us failed in those commandments. What is a covenant, by the way? According to Webster, it's a solemn, formal, binding agreement between two parties, usually under a seal, guaranteeing the performance of certain actions. In the old covenant, which met at that cross of the law, God said, you must keep these commandments if you are to live and have eternal life. Each and every one of you, including myself, has failed and broken them, deserving death. But what happened on that cross? That covenant also came to meet a new covenant, which Christ came to bring. A covenant, a better covenant, in the forgiveness of our sins. Listen to this word from Hebrews chapter 8. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry which is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. It says, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And they won't teach everyone his fellow or everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. For I'll be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. And speaking of a new covenant, he treats the first one as obsolete, and what is obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. What is your relationship with God like right now, today? Can I ask this morning? What's it like? Is it one of peace? The warfare is over? Friendship and harmony? This is what God gave you through the cross. And in giving you a new covenant, remember, what does that say? I will remember their sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Are you still weighed down today in your relationship with God as if your sins are a barrier between you and God? Don't you realize that at the cross he took all those things away to give you a new covenant where you live no longer under the law? You live under grace, where it is pure, undefiled, perfect love. The warfare is over. Friendship and harmony with God, it's a new covenant. And remember, a covenant is a formal binding agreement where God has promised a certain mode of actions. He says, for you who have believed on my Son, Jesus Christ, I will save you. I will love you your whole life long. I will keep you everlasting. I will bring you to myself in heaven. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. That's the new covenant. What a difference a cross makes. Also on the cross, you know what we see? Coming together from north and south, east and west, and from every direction, all the promises and the prophecies of God of the Old Testament days. I won't go through the thousands that there are, but I'll simply say, think about the Passover. Jesus, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were saved in Egypt because of a lamb that was slain, and the blood was placed on the doorposts and on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. And if the blood was upon that door, then the avenging angel of God would pass over that house, and the plague would not enter. They'd be saved from the wrath to come. Do you know when Jesus was crucified? What happened? He was crucified on the very feast of Passover, showing he is the Lamb of God. And if the blood of his is upon your forehead and upon the doors and windows of your house, God, of your heart, God says, you have nothing to fear of my wrath. It will pass over you in the days of the wrath to come. We also see in the Old Testament, Isaac once walking up a mountain, a father with his son, Isaac with his dad, Abraham. And Abraham was to sacrifice his son on a hill called Mount Moriah. Do you know what? 2,000 years later, Jesus also walked up, a father and a son. Jesus with his dad, his father in heaven, walked up a hill to be crucified. Isaac bore the wood for his own cross, faithfully went up. Jesus bore the wood for his own cross going up. And it was Mount Moriah, the Bible says, that Abraham walked up with Isaac. Do you know what mountain Jesus was crucified on? Mount Moriah. It says later in the Bible, are the hills of Jerusalem. 2,000 years later, this father and son walked up that same hill or in that area, and Jesus was crucified for us. All these promises of God are coming together for you to show you something. God says to you through that, I will be faithful to you to keep my promises. Hear now, says Zechariah, behold, I'll bring my servant the branch, and I'll remove the guilt of this land in a single day. How long did it take God to remove your guilt, friends? How long? A single day. It didn't take him thousands of years. On one day, on that cross, Jesus removed your guilt. Are you going around guilty today? Are you feeling ashamed of anything before God? He sees everything. You're naked before him. And he says in Christ Jesus, I love you. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame. You can stand before me as my people. And if Jesus and all these prophecies and thousands of others came to pass in Jesus at the cross, this means that all God's promises to you likewise are sure. For God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said and won't he do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? And what is this promise? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. Do you feel that today? Are you going around under a dark cloud in your relationship with God? Can't you hear him say here, I've reconciled you to myself. I've included you in my people Israel. I've given you a new covenant and the forgiveness of sins. I've proven myself through the prophecies. I'll be faithful to keep my promises to you. I promise you life. And no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For I, the Lord your God, am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Amen. Finally, two princes met there also on that cross on that day. The prince of the power of the air and the prince of heaven. Jesus met Satan on that cross. Was Satan on the cross? No. But we know that Satan filled Judas to go and betray Jesus to the authorities. Satan inspired the rulers of the Jews to cry out, crucify him, and the crowds. And when the people were jeering at Jesus on the cross, save yourself, well, Satan was in them, inspiring them to say such things. But Jesus says, shortly before he died, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. 1 John 3, for the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. What a great, glorious battlefield that was long ago when two great forces of light and darkness clashed on the cross, and Jesus came out defeating Satan, that terrible angel, and delivered us from his grasp. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the prince who destroyed the prince of darkness. And I want to ask, do you have peace today with him? He is a great zeal for you. I hope you feel it today. To make you a kingdom for his God, will you have a zeal for him? And if he has conquered, then we are indeed a free people. Our sins are blotted out. The wrath is gone. Peace and friendship with God are now ours forever. And under the shelters of the wings of a good and righteous king, we have peace. So, what then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also give us all things with him? We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? What, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? What's going to separate you, friends, from Jesus Christ and his love? I ask you, what will separate you? The answer is nothing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, what a difference a cross makes. In Jesus' name, amen. If you please stand, we'll confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.